Lord Jesus Christ, what a Savior we have in Him. I'm looking forward to the day we get to see Him face to face. A lot of dread about it, but a lot of wonder about it. I dread the judgment, but I'm so happy that I'm going to be in heaven. Amen. I'd rather stand at the judgment seat of Christ than at the great white throne judgment. And I am. I'm not standing at the great white throne. I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, August 26, 1985. He changed my life, made me a new creature in Christ. He gave me a life worth living. He's been so precious to me. And I'm happy that one day He's going to return and He's going to come and get me. And if you're saved, He's going to come and get you. And we're going to be together forever in heaven. And what a time that's going to be. Amen. Well, I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to Psalm 127 as we stand to our feet. Psalm 127. We'll read the whole psalm, and I want to emphasize, really, the last three verses. But let's read the psalm together. The Bible says, Psalm 127, verse number 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I want to preach today on children are an heritage of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for what You have already done. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence with us. Lord, I pray that You'll add now the blessing to the reading of Your Word and now the power to the preaching of it. I pray, Father, that You would hide me behind the cross, and today we would see what You want us to see and hear what You want us to hear. I pray for those that may be here today without Christ as Savior, that this would be the day that they come to trust Thee. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that we would be encouraged and helped and strengthened by Your Word. Lord, give us, please, what we need, and we will be thankful, and we will give You the glory for it. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've had an emphasis this weekend on our teens and some things going on with them. A teen life banquet today. They had a get-together yesterday where they did bigger and better. They started out, I don't know, one was a coat hanger, and I'm not two coat hangers, and they tried to go to a neighborhood, and they went to places, and they would trade those things. They'd go to a house, I imagine, and they would say, "We're doing an activity, and this is our activity, and we need something bigger or better than what we have here." And they started out with a coat hanger. And when they had two teams, when they got back, one of the teams ended up with an entrance door, or a door with a window in it. The other team ended up with a big screen TV. I mean, big screen TV. And it was such a blessing to Brother Chris, because he put that TV in his house. They watched that TV. They turned it off and did their devotions. Put the kids to bed and went back and turned the TV on, and it went boo, 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 boo. I'm so glad he got that TV. We was talking about that, you know. We laugh. But I was thinking about these teens as they went out. They went, when they talked to people, not only were they doing bigger and better, they were reaching out, they were handing out gospel tracts, they were inviting people to our church, they were doing different things, and they made a great activity, and they had a great time. And they're our children. I know they're teens, but to me they're still children. I'm still my mom and dad's child. I always will be. They treat me like a child sometimes. They treat my sister like a child sometimes. And my brother, today is his birthday. I called and I said, "How does it feel to be an old man?" He said, "About the same as it did yesterday." I said, "I understand." But we need to understand what children are. They are an heritage. We're living in a day where that's not the thought pattern. One of the greatest gifts that God has given to the world is the gift of children. As a matter of fact, I believe children bring more joy to our lives than we could ever imagine. In this particular psalm, there are two things talked about being built. In verses 1 and 2, they're talking about building a house. But verses 3 through 5 is talking about building a home. And that's what I want us to look at as we talk about children, our inheritance of the Lord. As the psalmist was pinning these words down, there's no doubt that he understood the need for God in building anything. In building a house, we were to do it under the guidance of the Lord. You can build the most beautiful house ever seen, but if God's not in it, it's vain. You can put a lot of effort, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of this, a lot of that, but if God's not in it, then you're building in vain. And so the same thing is when we build a home, rearing our children, if God is not in control, then I think you understand that trouble is on the horizon. We're living in a time when children are being thrown away. Done away with. Back years ago, they called, you remember, the latchkey children. Be home alone. And you know, you can get into all kinds of trouble when you're alone. And children are children. God helps us to understand that they need supervision. They need somebody there to try to rear them and to help them. But in America, in the United States of America, the greatest, the freest nation for this time, at this time in all the world, you realize that statistics, they say there are 52,000 throwaway children every year in America. In other words, 52,000 children, and parents just don't want them, so they just get rid of them. Throw them away. Don't want them. Too much for them. Put them out on the streets. Brother Allen and them deal with the children like that quite a bit. There was a family, a man that brought his children and said, I just can't have them anymore. And left them there, and I can't imagine that, can you? 52,000. No value on the life of a child. And in a day when life does not have value as it once did, there are 1.3 million abortions in America each year. You know, and they started out by saying, well, you know, in case of the mother's health or the baby's health, then we ought to legalize this murder. Let me give you the statistics on abortion. Why people have abortion. 22.5% just want to postpone childbearing. They don't want a child yet. 22.5 of the 1.3 million percent. 22.5%. 21.3 says they cannot afford a baby. So we'll just kill it. 14.1 has a relationship problem. In other words, their partner doesn't want a child. 12.2% too young, so the parents object. 10.8% of the 1.3 million, that is 138,000 or 140,000 children that are murdered every year because the child will interrupt their education or their career. 7.9 don't want any more children. 3.3 risk to fetal health, and 2.8% risk to maternal health. We're living in a day where children are being thrown away. We're living in a day where life is not valued. We're living in a time where they're murdering innocent babies. Thousands a day. A day. But the Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. When I think about this, I think about how even Christian circles have softened their stance in this. A previous president, President Clinton, was concerned about his stand on abortion. And he goes and he talks to a Baptist pastor whom he had confidence in. And this Baptist pastor convinced him that abortion was okay in certain stages. And he went with that. If that man would have said abortion is not right, President Clinton would have had greater consideration. But he went to who he should have gone to a pastor, to somebody that ought to be able to take God's word and show him the value of life and help them and even take them and show them where the Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. They are a precious gift from God. And that life ought to be honored and it ought to be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now think about that. Now, we all think for ourselves, and every president has to think for himself. But when you're looking for spiritual guidance and you go to somebody, you ought to get the right guidance. And I blame that pastor as much as anything in his stance, because he was really on the edge of going one way or another. Well, think about these things. What are children? Well, children are an heritage, the Bible says. Let's look at it together, would you? God is teaching us that children are precious and children are wonderful. The Bible says in verse number 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Children are an heritage. They are a precious gift from God. And we live in an age where husbands and wives are refraining from having children, even in Christian homes, but the Bible helps us to understand that they're a gift from God. A lot of reasons are given why parents don't have children or Christians don't have children. And some of the reasons are things like this. Many are afraid of how they're going to turn out. I'm glad that's not always been the thought process. I probably wouldn't be here, you know. I would have been here. That was a mistake. I've been told that all my life. Of course, I asked the question. When I did all the math and I saw my mom, she has two sisters, and I saw that one of her sisters had four children and they were all 4 years apart, and her other sister had three children and they were 5 years apart, and then my brother came, and then 2 years later my sister came, and then 9 years later, I came. And I said, how come they had theirs so closer together and on like a schedule? And then I came, and she said, well, you were a mistake. But they said, you're the best mistake we've ever had. Hey, they said it. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. Oh. But a lot of people, they're afraid of how they may turn out. I'm convinced if you'll do what the Bible says in rearing your children, they'll turn out okay. They'll have their times, but they'll be all right. Train up a child in the way she go. Train them up. Raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Many are afraid that they may have children that's going to rebel or defy God, or get involved, or trapped by the pitfalls of society. There are lots of things. I think about this. There are those who fear the dangers of the world. They fear the terrorism, the violence. They fear the sins of society. Things like immorality, which our children are being indoctrinated in our education system. It's what you think is right, and what you think is wrong is wrong. There's nothing absolute. They're being taught these things. That's why it is so needful for parents at home to teach their children the truth, especially if we send them to a public school. And we need to say, now this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you're supposed to believe according to God and His Word. The sins of society. Sin of homosexuality. I was talking to somebody the other night who is a teacher in the public school system, high school system here, and this person said that it is unreal what you see in this area in our public high schools. Unreal. We're sliding towards Sodom at an ever-quickening pace. And so what happens is Christians quit having children because they're afraid of these things. But what I say is we ought to have more children. We ought to teach them right and train them right and send more light into the world. The demographics show that America is on such a rapid decline that we will soon be, that we will not be able to sustain as a society. You need to have, I believe the statistics say 2.1, you have to have an average of 2.1. Am I right? Somebody know this? 2.1 has to be the average size of a home or of a family in order to sustain a society. 2.1 people per family. In countries like Germany and a lot of the European countries, that number has went way down. And we're seeing in America, if it were not for the Spanish influx of people coming into America, we would be at a 1.8 rate in America. We could not sustain as a society. One of the great problems in society is that a lot of people having children that are not Christians. And so we're raising generations, pardon me of what I'm getting ready to say, of heathens. They don't know God. And they don't understand that children are an heritage. Children are being born out of wedlock at a rapid pace. And so we start looking and we start saying, what's happening to our society? Do you realize that while there is a 1.8 and then with the added Spanish influx of people, 2.1 average per family, that the Muslim nation, there is 8.1 people per family. They say by the year 2020 that Germany could be a full Muslim nation. Absolutely. The greatest popularity will be Muslims. In America, we're headed that way at a pace, and I think somewhere in the 2020s or 2030s, and no doubt by the 2050, we could become a Muslim nation. Because we forgot that children are an heritage of the Lord, and we decided that our careers are more important than children. Having more money in the bank is more important than raising up children. Now, I know some people have tried to have children and couldn't. God knows all that too. But what I'm saying is we need to look at children as not being something that hinders our life, but children as an heritage. Children are a blessing. I was thinking about our teens as they went out yesterday, and I thought, what a blessing we have to have the teenagers that we have. And I know two of them were mine. And I love my kids. As far as I'm concerned, I have the greatest kids in all the world, but they're not perfect. They can't be perfect because they came from somebody that was not perfect. But I'm grateful for the kids that I have. Do we ever fuss? Don't ask stuff like that. Because you already know the answer. Do they ever have to be corrected? Don't ask stuff like that. I mean, look at them. You can tell. They're not perfect. But they're an heritage. They're a gift from God. And Christians, I believe, need to understand this. There are those that fear these things, and so they won't have children. But I'm convinced that if Christians would have done their jobs in having children, that our society wouldn't be as far gone if we would have raised them the way that they were supposed to be raised and brought them up in church, and our churches would be fuller today. But instead, what's happening is people having children out of wedlock, and families that aren't really even families are having children. We see all these things. So they reason, a lot of people, they reason it would be better not to have children than to bring them into a dangerous world. But the Bible says children are an heritage. God gives them to us. When I look at my children, their imperfections, the times they don't do what I think they ought to do, and then the times I don't do with them what they think I ought to do, when I look at them, I realize they are a gift from God. And I want to treat them like that. And I want to show them the love of God. God gives them to us, and we are to give them to Him because they're an heritage. I was thinking about in the Bible, what if the parents of Elijah had refrained from having him because Omri, the wicked king, was on the throne? What if they had said, you know, with this guy on the throne, we don't need to have kids? But I sure am glad Elijah was brought into the world. What about the decree of Pharaoh back in Exodus? Kill all the boys. Girls can live, but the boys can't live. What if Amram and Jochebed had said, we're not going to have any kids because if we have a boy, it's going to kill him. And Moses would not have been born. But they did not stop. They did not refrain. We see that they were these children were used of a mighty way for God. The Bible says in verse number 3, the fruit of the womb is His reward. God is the one, is the only one that can allow a baby to be born. He decides to whom a child is to be born. Some to the rich, some to the poor, some to those middle class people. But God has a purpose for every child, and God has a child for every purpose. I was reading F.W. Borham, a great writer and a preacher, died in the middle of the 20th century, 1950s he died. He was known for preaching sermons on life verses, people's life verse. In other words, somebody had a life verse. He started doing this on Sunday evenings. Somebody would have a life verse, and he would take that life verse and he would preach sermons on those people's life verse. For instance, Charles Spurgeon's life verse, though he stands to be a scarlet, shall be as white as snow, I believe it was his life verse. And he would preach on that. And he did that, and he did 125 sermons on people's life verses. Sometimes it was fictional characters, but he would take a story. Back when they used to write books, a fictional character would still honor the Lord in a lot of ways. A lot of the old novels, you would see a lot of Christ-honoring things in it. He would take those things. But this is what, I was reading him, and this is what he said. He had this statement. And I thought, how true. He said, when God sees that in this poor old world, a wrong needs righting, or a truth needs preaching, or a benefit needs inventing, He sends a baby into the world to do it. I like that. Children are an heritage of the Lord. God has a purpose for every child, and a child for every purpose. In other words, from the greatest people in the world, God sent them into the world to be what they were. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And I wonder, by the way, God is sovereign, God is all-knowing, God knows those babies that are going to be born, those that are going to be aborted. But I wonder how many that God, I don't know the mind of God, but how many babies have been aborted that God would have allowed to be some great preacher, some great missionary, some great leader in the world? I've wondered. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God. They're to be precious to us. Not only are children an heritage, I want you to look with me. Verse number 4. As arrows in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Children are an heritage, and children are, number 2, our helpers. Our helpers. The Bible speaks here of the mighty man. When the mighty man has arrows in his hands, he intends to use those arrows. They're there for a purpose. For them to do their job, for those arrows to do their job, it's going to take time, it's going to take patience in crafting those arrows. And for an arrow to shoot straight, guess what? It has to be straight. Has anybody here ever shot an arrow? Anybody ever shot an arrow? Has anybody ever shot an arrow that was crooked? Anybody ever shot an arrow that's crooked? Crooked? Does that crooked arrow shoot straight? It don't. Never will. I can promise you that. It will not shoot straight. And a lot of the direction of the arrow is determined by the mighty man. How they craft the arrow. How they make the arrow. How they put it together, if you will. And how they use the arrow. God gives us children because children are our helpers. And the mighty man, in order for him to use the arrows, to craft the arrows properly and use the arrows properly, there needs to be some things about him. First of all, the mighty man must have direction. Must have direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, the Bible says. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Must have direction. Needs to be saved. The mighty man must be saved. Must be settled. Must be sure. Not only does he need to have direction, he must have discipline. Train up a child in the way it should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. In your own life, as parents, we should never expect something from our child that we don't expect from ourselves. Now I'm going to say something, and I'm going to make somebody mad. It's just a forewarning. So if you're easily offended, I want you to read the psalm where it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." But if you don't want your children to smoke cigarettes, then you shouldn't smoke cigarettes. If you don't want your children to drink, then you shouldn't drink. If you don't want your children to watch certain things, then you shouldn't watch certain things. If you don't want your children to act certain ways, then you shouldn't act certain ways. If you don't want your children to spout off at the mouth, you should never spout off at the mouth. If you don't want your children to say certain words, then you should never say certain words. Right? Discipline. We've got to have this discipline. But see, the discipline starts in our lives. If we're going to discipline our children, we've got to be the example. We've got to show them these things. And they must have a desire. I love what the Bible says here in verse number 4. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man. The question has to be asked, do we have the desire to see the child go straight? Then if we do, these arrows are in our hand. And we are to lead them to give their life to God's will. Desire for them what God desires. You understand? Be a part of your child's life. Go to church. Sit together. Pray together. Sing together. I think one of the things I've missed out on so much. Faith was a month old when I started pastoring. And so I have never really sat with my wife and kids in church. Occasions we have when we go to church together. But I've never had that privilege. If you have children, they're younger, you ought to bring them, let them sit with you. Let them remember looking up at their daddy and him saying amen in a church service. And mama and her there, and the Lord speaks her heart and she begins to cry about something. Or they see her get out and go to the altar, or the daddy go to the altar. Mold their life. Give them an example. I told my wife, told Jody just a few weeks ago, I said, you know, I don't guess I've ever really thought about it this way. But I said, I wish there were times that we could have just been together as a family on a church pew. And you know, there's places where that has happened, but consistently. But thank God He's called me to pastor. I love that. I don't regret that. There was no regrets about that. I don't want you to think there is. But I'm saying a lot of people don't realize what they have when their children are in church with them, how if they'll just take that time. Especially as younger children. I realize they get up, teenagers, teens, they sit together. They do things like that. It's great. Children who are younger, think about things like that because you can't go back. Faith is 17. Joe's going to be 15 Wednesday. That's not right. That's not supposed to happen. I'm gray-headed. You can't see it that much from out there because there's just a little bit. You know, just a little bit. But my kids are close enough to me all the time that they point it out quite often. Daddy, you're getting really gray. And I said, you're getting really to be a smart aleck, you know. But I remember, and you're going to say it, I'm going to say it, others are going to say it, and until Jesus comes, it's going to be said over and over and over again. I remember bringing those little babies home from the hospital, and I'll never forget people telling me, you ought to enjoy every minute you have with them because it will go by so fast and they will be gone before you know it. And I thought there's no way it's going to be that fast, but it is faster than what I ever thought when they said that. And if you have children and they're in church. I know we don't have just tons of that here. But if you do, and they're the age where they're in the service, then enjoy that time together and learn to enjoy those things. And I wish I had some more of that. But God had a plan for my life. Children are inherited, children are our helpers, and children are our happiness. Verse number 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When children are raised, when they're reared the right way, they're going to be a delight. When we invest ourselves into our children and then they invest their lives in doing God's will, happy is the man that has a quiver full of them. I was reading Spurgeon on this psalm, and Spurgeon said, if they're only sticks or knotty, K-N-O-T-T-Y, not T. The fewer, the better. But boy, when they're the right kind of children, happy is the man that has a quiver full of them. Children are our happiness. John the Beloved was writing, he was speaking of those that were spiritual children. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The same is true for us concerning our own children, isn't it? Happy is the man, the Bible says, that hath his quiver full of them. And then it says, they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When we prove ourselves to our own children, we show our own children by example that living for God is the right way to live, and then they too will follow God, then they're going to stand for us and they're going to stand with us, and they'll meet the enemy in the gate in our stead when we're old. When we get to where we're too old to do it, we've passed on to our heritage. Great truths. I told Joe just the other day, I said, I'm not looking for God to call you to preach. He may. But I'm looking for you to do whatever God wants you to do with your life. And one of these days, I'm going to be too old to do a lot. But hopefully he's going to come up behind me. And the enemy that's going to come after me, he's going to stand and say, my daddy did right. And he'll stand for me against the enemy. And my daughter will stand for me against the enemy. And stand for God against the enemy. And will not back down. That's what's happened in our society, is we've raised a bunch of spineless people that will not take a stand on the Bible. And we need some strong Christian families that'll rear up their children and train them up in the way that they should go and show them what thus saith the Lord and help them to understand that, yes, you're my children, but you have a personal accountability to God, and there's going to be things that I will never know about that you do, but God will know about it and you will stand before God. We need to teach them to have a fear of God. But we'll find out that as we raise them right, they're going to bring happiness to our lives. I don't know what my kids are going to do. 17, 15, they've got a lot of days ahead of them, Lord willing. A lot of big decisions. I sure pray that they do the right things. So I won't stand in condemnation of anybody whose children have not done the right thing. Because I'm not there yet. But I can tell you this. To this point in my life, my children have brought a lot of happiness to me. I'm not trying to embarrass them. I'm just saying that we have tried to keep the right kind of home. Which is not a perfect home. If you were in our home, you would find out. Your pastor is about as far from perfect as you would ever want to think of. But we have a happy home. And it's not because the daddy is so good or the mom is so good or the children are so good. It's because God is so good. And God gave us children. And they are our helpers. And they are our heritage. And they are our happiness. What a great truth. There's no happier person in the world than the one who has a quiver full of these arrows. God allowed us to have the children that we have. You understand that? The children you have, with any infirmity, whether it be physical, any health issue, anything they have, God allowed you to have those children. God allowed you to have them. We need to do our best with them. They may be getting up older, and some people say, well, it's too late to start now. But I say, it's never too late to start. My dad still talks to me about certain things. And I still call him and I'll say, what's your opinion on this? Because I respect his opinion. He's my dad. He'll tell me the truth. I'll tell him the truth too. And God teaches us that that children are our heritage. I believe as they're younger, they have a responsibility to obey. But then there comes a time when they have to stand on their own two feet. And their responsibility goes from being obedient to parents to honoring parents. Because then they have to stand up for themselves and stand on their own, and they have to answer for themselves. But they'll bring you great happiness if they'll continue to serve the Lord. Men, let's be a mighty man. Let's be a mighty man for God. Be a godly man, a godly mother. Follow God and show children the way they should go. And if you're not already started doing that, do it now. Pray together. You ever sit down at a meal and just start eating and not praying? Teach your children. That's not what we do. Have times where you read the Bible together, pray together, sing together, come to church together, go places together. You don't have to go out and spend a lot of money. If you don't have time together, you work a lot, you do a lot of different things. Find time where you and your wife or you and your husband and your children can go to a park together and just sit around and enjoy each other. And if you've got those kids that you can't keep controlled, and put them on a leash, you know. There are some of those, I know. I'm thinking of some right now. And some of you are thinking, is he thinking of my kids? Is he thinking of them? May the Lord help us. As we've enjoyed the things and getting ready to enjoy a banquet for our teens in just a few moments, teens and parents, I want you to see that children are a gift from God. And look at the children in our church, the babies, the infants, toddlers, middle school, preschool, all of them, and realize they're a gift from God. Teenagers, gift from God. And let's do right. Let's be a kind of church that does right by them. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. I ask you to help us now. Help us to be committed. Help us as a church to be committed to doing the right things with our children. Help us as parents to be committed to doing the right things with our children. Help us to honor you in our lives so that they will see the example and follow after that example. Lord Jesus, we'll give you the glory for what's accomplished. And I pray that these truths will be taken to our hearts and our homes, our lives, and they'll be lasting, lasting things. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you to quietly stand to your feet.